Hello and welcome to the Label Sessions Presents podcast. Label Sessions is the world's leading innovation expert network. In this series, you will meet some of the most interesting leaders anywhere, from across the worlds of business, design, tech, culture, and sustainability, all signed to the Label Sessions roster. To find out more about our work, helping brands and institutions around the world take on their big challenges for the future, head to labelsessions.com to find out more. For now, enjoy the podcast.
We are thrilled to have you join us, Robin. Thank you so much for joining the Label Sessions Presents podcast. Could you introduce yourself to our audience and maybe kind of share what you're known for?
I guess I'm a strategist, right? And I'm going to use that word with a slight pause because I don't really like it in the sense that, like, I don't know, it's far too narrow. Because you end up in this debate between strategy and creativity, right? And there's like almost these are two different things. But in reality, I kind of think, you know, strategy is a creative discipline, right? And I kind of have always been somebody who's kind of put those two things together, right? But I think, you know, there's certain people like to kind of create those camps, right? And, you know, so for me, the simplest way to describe it sometimes is strategy, right? Strategist. But in truth, like the way I sort of articulate it is like I'm a kind of curious person who sort of tried to build a career helping businesses or business leaders to kind of take on some of the kind of biggest challenges that they've got today and really sort of find new growth and new opportunities for growth, you know, brackets, make more money, I suppose would be the other half of the kind of sentence, through their kind of brand strategy, marketing activities, and kind of bringing together those two worlds of strategy and creativity to kind of find the thing that I try to do the most of is bring those two bits together to connect business ideas and customers to something new, I guess. And that would have been true whether I've been in the kind of tech space, in the kind of marketing space, or in the kind of leadership space as well. I think the one thread that I've probably got in the recent years has sort of been common, I guess, in terms of all the things that I've tried to do.
I think that's a really interesting way of looking at things with strategy and creativity. I'm curious about your perspective with your kind of experience with kind of a innovation and growth with companies. Product can often sit with like a tech team, and brand strategy can sit with, say, like a marketing team. It's not always that way, but it often is. Can you maybe kind of just talk to us a bit around these worlds of product and brand strategy, what it means for you being at that kind of intersection?
I won't really force myself to be at that intersect, because you're right. Like most organizations are structured in different ways, but they do tend to have those two things separate. And these are, there's always reasons for it, right? Because, you know, to your point, the product, the thing that you're building, often, yeah, this technically aligned to kind of tech or operation part of business. Brand, in that sense, and it depends on the organization is thinking about brand versus brand and marketing sits within the kind of marketing function. And like most organizations just aren't very good at kind of joining, never mind these two things up, the rest of the stuff up. So you do end up in this place where these two things are separate. And I think the reason why I find that, and I haven't really found an example of where it's working well. Actually, well, some of it's not true. Actually, some of the examples, if you think back to some of the work we did with Virgin Money, actually, the way in which they thought about brand and product and actually having those two things kind of quite closely aligned, I think was one of the reasons why they were incredibly successful, some of the work they did over the last kind of, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. But the issue sometimes with these two separate worlds is, like, you know, brand is very, very good at understanding kind of why, what an organization is, why it exists to be, what its purpose is. But that doesn't always then translate into the themes that business then does, right? Might be how it talks about itself, how it communicates, how it markets, yes, kind of values and all that, but that doesn't necessarily always translate directly into the kind of product and the experience that it delivers. And the value that you get is when you manage to join these two things up and you've got a product team that both understands the customer that it's trying to create or create something for, and the business in which it's in, why that business exists, and then you can build products that genuinely deliver both the business and the customer. And you find that actually by having a deeper understanding of the brand of an organization, you create deeper ideas and kind of better ideas and things you then take to market. But those two worlds don't tend to be in sync very often. I think quite often it's just a case making opportunity for them actually to kind of come together, right? Bringing brand teams involved into, you know, product design and having a, you know, product teams having a deeper understanding of what a business stands for, what it's about, why it exists. And that's both the kind of brand and the business strategy side of it.
You mentioned like Virgin Money, who you think has done, brought in kind of a brand and product really well together, because the brand really feels like the skeleton that holds a lot of things together and kind of and drives the organization. It must be really hard to, for people to, if they think about brand, in like a non-traditional way, to hire for that. Because when people think about like brand managers and brand leaders, it must be really hard to like hire for, I guess, you know, a new way of doing brand, a new way of approaching it.
Yeah, and I don't know whether I'm sort of projecting and just trying to kind of create this new world that I think is actually quite interesting, right? Because you're right, most people in that kind of brand space will come from a kind of communications or a pure brand, not necessarily to make kind of product design, product innovation, kind of customer bit. But I think that's, I generally think that's where there's value, right? And I think a lot of the, because what you'll find is a lot of, you know, brand strategists or kind of brand agencies, what they're very, very good at is uncovering a really interesting thing, right? Whether that's an insight or a truth about a market or a customer base or a product, whatever it is, right? They're very good at finding that and then creatively creating something, more often than not, communicate, right? What they're not very good at is turning that into something really, like a product or experience. What product teams are very, very good at is taking a customer need and turning that into a functional thing that, you know, a customer may or may not want. But what they're not necessarily very good at or very well tuned into is connecting that product back into something bigger, right? Whether that something bigger is the organization in a kind of non-commercial sense, or into something bigger in kind of culture and society that kind of gives a bigger meaning around the brand. And I think find somebody, or teams ideally, who could cut across those bits and kind of bring some like kind of brand thinking into product design, and like product design thinking into kind of brand. And I think we end up creating products that sort of both land in market very effectively, but to last as well, right? Because they could be stable.
What I hear and what I take from that is really this about kind of a transcending like conventional boundaries. And I think your focus and interest is kind of a connecting kind of ideas, culture, and people in this kind of a, what is actually a really probably a dynamic working existence for people in big brands.
I had this idea of sort of the analogy of like sometimes these are treated like chapters in a book, right? Like there's a start, you know, middle and end. You do the kind of brand bit, strategy bit, product bit, experience bit, marketing bit, right? But in reality, they're all just characters in the same story. And actually, they all kind of need to connect together and weave together. And the interesting stuff happens at the intersect, I think, of all of these things, right? Product and design, brand, product. Like, I think if we can find the space between, that's when I think interesting stuff tends to happen. It does take kind of both cultural shifts, right, in terms of how an organization thinks about itself. There's some practical functional things in terms of how an organization structures itself to allow that things to happen, right? The way down to like ownership and C-suite, down to how the teams are structured and the ways in which an organization lets itself kind of like, yeah, live in that kind of slight chaotic dynamic space that allows these teams and people to interact more readily than it does currently. Most businesses, for good reasons, have structure, and that structure is valuable. But I think sometimes we could do with letting go of the structure a little bit.
I wanted to ask you if there were industry practices you saw that like needed to change.
I don't know the specific practices. I think it's a general principle, like embracing a bit more chaos. I think it's just as a philosophy I believe in. There's a nuance around size and scale. Right? The bigger you get, the slight you do need to have some sense of structure to not for the thing to keep moving forward, right? The simplest thing it comes down to is like, there's an old Barack Obama quote, I think, which was kind of like, we get more stuff done when we stop caring who gets the credit. And I think there's a little bit in that, right? That when we, whether you're an organization or an agency working with a client or whatever, if we can just worry a bit more about what it is we're trying to do and a little bit less about who's doing it, right? And like, you know, then I think we do get more stuff done, right? So, and then some of that might be a philosophical cultural change that we need to kind of make. Some of that might just be then down to being a little bit less restrictive on the kind of roles, responsibilities of people and teams, and kind of playing to kind of skills and experience, and kind of combined skills and experience, etc. Like how we create teams. Like at a base level, like cross-functional teams, we've been talking for a long time. Those are great. Those are really good ways to do it. But quite often you'll find they're very orchestrated, and somebody still needs to be sat at the top of the pyramid. And like then whoever's sat at the top of the pyramid tends to have some set of initiative and alignment to one part of the organization, and you sort of lose some of the value of that kind of chaos. So I think it comes down to trust in culture at its base level, I suppose. And then, just thinking more about what is it we're trying to collectively do than the job title that I've currently got on, or the, you know, the part of the organization that I sit in. And that does get harder the harder you get up, because, you know, at some point there's a performance metrics and as a sort of criteria that somebody's going to be evaluated on. And I think changing some of that might actually be quite helpful, and like being a bit freer in terms of how we evaluate success, particularly at senior levels, might allow things to kind of cascade down and give teams and individuals more autonomy and freedom to kind of step outside the box, right, and step across and look across an organization and go make friends with the person, the design team. If you're a, you know, even things like product design tend to sometimes sit incredibly separate from each other. They're fundamentally part of the product, they're the same part of a business. Looking at sales and marketing separate from product, all of these things just need to be better and more comfortable sitting together, and more barriers that we can remove, whether that's through structure, process, performance metrics, better in my mind. If you've got a common, you know, the thing you do need within that is a common framework, right? And by that I sort of mean broad strategy, brand. The thing that's going to act as the kind of guardrails, it means we're all heading, you know, the bumperly analogy on the bowling lane, we're all heading in the right direction, we can bounce off it, you know, we're all going to completely be heading off in different directions. If we have that, kind of what happens in the middle, I think we can leave to a little bit of luck and serendipity sometimes.
Let me ask you this. You're someone that's navigated a lot of corporate environments and the corporate landscape, you've worked within that, but also you've kind of stayed rooted in creativity in different ways, both in your working life, but also I know you're an incredible photographer and you're really passionate about photography and making and the craft of photography, and I guess the craft of creativity in a way. And I think some, and I think I just want to like take a minute and talk about those two worlds, because then I think you very comfortably inhabit both of them.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I mean, it's maybe been a late realization. But for the first year, I think the first part of my career, I probably was very corporate, right? I sort of lived on that. You know, I sort of grew up in the kind of big consultants, right, of Accenture and stuff. Spent a big chunk of time there and was on that kind of corporate career ladder. And it's probably only recently, and then, you know, we've moved to a small agency, kind of back in big consultancy through acquisition, and then kind of moved into kind of work at a tech scaler agency place again, right? And I've probably only when I look back at that, that I've kind of looked at the kind of common thread that has almost been that kind of angle of creativity, even when I was in this deep tech strategy, right? I was like, I'm not a tech person at all. I'm like, weirdly, the antithesis to tech. That's why I use all mechanical film cameras, right? Because I kind of like all the fancy new stuff scares me, right? So give me something I can wipe, right? That's kind of what I like, or vinyl, right? Old vinyl, right? That's what I also do. So I'm like the weird antithesis of technology. And the thing that's been true through all of that is like the thing that I've kind of held on to is that kind of like creativity of new ideas, right? So even doing like, you know, deep tech, the thing I was trying to find was like, what's the interesting idea that's going to make this new platform relevant to somebody? But it's only, whether it's only ever been the fortune of old age, right, I've been able to kind of look back and kind of seen that that's the thing that I've inadvertently held on to, is the bit that I've kind of like, well, actually, that's the bit that I care about. That's the bit that I'm really interested in. How do you bring, you know, creativity as a kind of, as a way to transform large corporate organizations? And I think there's like, is so much of that already in place within these places. Again, it's just, it's how do you sort of unlock it and find it, I guess, right? So there's a bit of like self-learning in that, in the sense that I've kind of figured out the bit that I care most about. And like, I've been sort of lucky in a lot of ways. I've been afforded the opportunity to kind of be that person, I suppose, in the projects and the organizations that I've been in, even inside, you know, big consultancy and small agency. So I don't know. I think it's just, you know, there's a little bit of self-reflection that kind of lasts me a while, that, you know, I've become really happy, right, and comfortable in the sort of thing that I can bring. And fortunately, in the past, they've afforded me that opportunity to play that role, I suppose, right? And some of the landing back on some of the projects that we've been involved in, one of the things I kind of get most joy out of it is when you find those, because I think it's like the general idea about creativity, right? Or creative, I'm not creative, right? I mean, I think everybody's creative. I mean, that's a general starting point. I think some people just learn to hold on to it for longer, right? The systems and the environments that we're in are almost designed to beat creativity out of us in a lot of ways, right? Whereas like some of us either just learn to kind of hold on to it a bit longer, or a little bit more belligerent and like to want to let it go. I don't know which one it is, right? Like, I can't sing, I can't play any musical instruments, I can't draw. So like my form of creativity is words in a lot of ways, right? Our visual through photography. You know, so I'm like, in the truest sense, like I am not a creative person, but I think, you know, the act of having ideas is creative, but I think strategy is the job having ideas that win. So that's kind of why I kind of blend those two worlds together, right?
You said something really interesting to me around the I guess your practice. So you like vinyl and I guess analog cameras, the antithesis of new tech, but I guess photography development. What drew you to photography? What do you like about photography?
I mean, the classic answer, the thing is that it is my way of exploring my curiosity, like making sense of stuff, right? Because it forces you, or forces me, to get out from behind this little desk and wander outside, right, and go, right? And I think photography is about finding stuff, right? That might be beautiful landscape. I started off in landscape, but I actually do much more kind of like street or kind of documentary type stuff, like capturing life. I think even just around the house, right, taking pictures of the boys and stuff, in a kind of just like capturing moments, I think, right? So it forces you to go out and look, right? That's the first thing. And like, I enjoy that because it's like, I'm not somebody who really sits and read lots of books, right? And if I will go out into the world, I'll just go wander and I'll take pictures of something. And like, it's not really the act taking pictures that I enjoy as much, although I think it's a massive part of it, but it's about just getting out there and see it and finding it, looking. And it makes you look closer at stuff. So like you start to look at things, you're taking a picture of a building, look at how that building's constructed, how the window frames are made, like tiny little bits of detail that you would, because it might be an interesting picture, right? That you would never see if you didn't do that, right? You'd just be wandering that. And I just think there's an element of that I just, like I kind of need in my life. I need to kind of escape from screen and just get out into the world a little bit and just look at stuff. And when you look at stuff, you see things that you wouldn't necessarily have seen. That's where you kind of let, you make good work in that, I think, when you sort of train yourself to look at things in a different way. And I think we can apply that back to strategy and creativity as well. But like, yeah, photography for me is about getting out, seeing the world, and maybe coming back with something that might look good on the wall eventually.
Thinking about like strategy for a bit. So you've talked about what strategy means to you being like, it's about the business of ideas. It's about what's next. It's about kind of connecting the dots. What's the impact you've seen when a business doesn't have a clear strategy?
We spend so much time on strategy. We have so much time and money on it. But really, it can be one of the most simplest things. We overcomplicate it, I think, in a lot of ways. But you do need something. You need some sort of framework. You can decide how loose or tight you want that to be. And I think that the looser you allow it to be, the clearer the idea needs to be in itself, or actually some sort of core through which you're kind of looking at everything. And then, yeah, it's the stuff that happens in the middle of that, I'm drawing a big circle continuously, you can let happen. And I think that's the chaos, right? When you haven't got some sense of direction or framework or purpose or reason and identity for what you're trying to do, that's when things go chaotically in the wrong direction, because there's no sense of community. There's no thread. Like, you think about that, I don't really mind, you know, you can have a strategy, the thread runs through everything, and things can be flailing off around either side of it, right? But we haven't got that thread that pulls everything together, which at some point you can just pull the string and everything tightens up. If you haven't got that, everything goes everywhere. And that's when, you know, that's when the lack of strategy is obvious, right?
So just leaning onto that for a minute, like, I'm just quite interested in this kind of a bridging the gap from strategy, from thinking to doing, and that kind of a seesaw, the back and forth as you kind of progress a concept from strategy into like realizing its ambition and the chaos that goes along with it.
Even just that language of like, because I think there's a slight fallacy that some people fall into, which is like, there's a period of thinking and then there's a period of doing, right? I actually don't necessarily think that's true, right? I think, but one of the big things people fall into this idea of like, we have the strategy, or whatever, vision, strategy, plan, right? We use different words. That's it. Let's go. We must be right. I think the truth, the first thing, basically, well, never advise, have opinions, right? That's the other thing I'll say. A lot of opinions, not necessarily huge advice. The strategy will be wrong, right? And that's okay. But I think too often people think about the right strategy from day one. What you need to do is like have a way in which you start to execute on the belief or the bet, the idea that you have, and then being able to change it, iterate on it, explore different avenues, be consciously in tune with what's happening in the business or the market that allows you to adapt and adjust. Too often, like there's this sort of another terrible analogy of like a Sarvi yacht race where all of the yachts are like swimming around at the beginning and somebody blows a whistle and everybody goes, right? The reality, like that's the strategic fate of like chaos and thinking, and then all of a sudden we're off and running and the program's in play and everything's going to be fine now. But in reality, that's just not how the world works, right? I mean, you look at the chaos that's going on in the world, like, you know, we can't define a plan for the next 6 months, never mind the next 4 years, it's going to be accurate. But we have to find a way to place some bets, right? And those bets are sort of informed opinions or ideas about how we're going to win, right? In whatever market or industry, whatever it is we're trying to do. And then we need a way of being able to constantly kind of check back on whether those things that we're doing are working or not, and then adjust, right? And then there's that old saying, it says the vision stays the same, the strategy changes daily, right? Which I think is still true. That kind of core belief, that thread, is more like a brand level, that thing, that core purpose. That's where we're going. That's what we're trying to be. That's who we aspire to be, what we aspire to achieve. How do we get there? The strategy, the plan, the tactics change. And I think being able to really kind of iterate back on that and redirect and pivot to use that kind of well-coined phrase is the important bit. And that's why the intersecting kind of branded product is so important, because we can't define this vision, this future, send, you know, product design teams off for 3 years to go and create it, and realize that by the time we built it, the world shifted 6 months after, right? And I think that intersecting two worlds, that cycle, is incredibly important.
Hearing what you've just said, it sounds like that idea of, like, I guess, being in the moment and seeing things. What I'm hearing when you're talking about strategy is it's not about this big overarching goal, North Star, that's really hard to get to, / you're actually never going to get there. It's about having a direction and then this more iterative process of redefining your strategy constantly. So seeing what's actually going on and being in the moment and making kind of a decisions. And it makes me think, what's the role of the strategist then?
Now, well, we'll come on to that in a minute. But I think the two bits you talked about are still important. I think you need that kind of end goal, flag in the ground, right? But for me, that's where brand plays a role, right? That's in terms of like what this organization is about, what we stand for, what's our purpose, right, to achieve, both from a kind of brand and a kind of business perspective as well. The strategy, or more likely strategies that we have, are the things that we will go after in order to get there, right? So I think that's what those two things are connected but disconnected at the same time, right? That the big thing, the North Star, I mean, that's just, again, another kind of quite coin phrase, stays true, right? The strategy is the bit that changes. I think, so what's my views on what's the role of the strategist, which is kind of why I don't really use that term to describe myself, other than when I need to sort of use a way, find some way of articulating, because I think a lot of strategy today is really about planning, right? It's about the mapping of that for me to be, which is, you know, important, right? But I think that's quite a simplistic view of how what the role actually is, which is about constantly looking at where we're going, looking at the way in which we get there across the whole organization, not just from, you know, to one length, whether it be product design or whatever, and constantly readjusting the organization, not just the strategy, for how we get there. And I think that's why I've always found it really weird, you know, or interesting, let's say, where strategy is a department that sits off over here rather than a skill set and a thing that we can use to cut across. Right? Because we need everybody aligned across that kind of common idea. We need some people who are kind of looking across a business and across a kind of market base, whatever it is, to kind of constantly be checking back and forth as to whether the direction that this organization is going is the right one relative to our goals, objectives, and competitors, and then adjusting everything that business is doing to get there. Now, that doesn't mean you need to do a whole new strategic planning exercise for the exec team to kind of reevaluate everything. You need to kind of build those sort of strategic disciplines down into the organization as much as possible as well, so that everybody is then starting to think, you know, has a clear view of where we're going, understands their role and how they can achieve it, and is checking back in against that strategy in the market. They're understanding their part of the organization, to how they should change and how they need to adapt and evolve their execution of it. And then that just like democratization of strategy down into business, I think is important. It's, I think, that's a general principle, right? Kind of democratization and kind of autonomy, I think, that I kind of subscribe to. I think business is going to work in that sort of way, I think, becomes incredibly important.
And I think a really exciting place to be for strategists who are able to work in organizations like that, that enable them, because it's such a powerful role.
I think maybe something that we might cut out depending on how many people we offend. But like, I look at strategists a little bit like politicians, like career politicians, where if all you've ever done is been a politician, right, it's kind of hard then to go run the trains, whatever, right? If you've driven a train for a while, you sort of understand how to kind of run the network and the rails potentially. So I think there's a similar analogy in terms of, like, I think some of the kind of best strategists are people who've kind of been it, and I'm nowhere near putting myself in any of this gap, right? But like the people who could have understood to do that are the people who've kind of been in the different parts of the organization and understand how it works, because then you can cut across it in a way that is kind of more meaningful and more relevant to the teams and the people and the part of the business that you are ultimately affecting. I think when strategy is stuck in a box up here, off to the right hand side, I think that's when it starts to go wrong, because it's sort of, it's done in a vacuum and a void of any, you know, in the same way that we build products, we build customers, we bring customers and understand the market. I think when we're designing, you know, past organizations and strategies, we need to build them inside the business, not separate from them.
Okay, Robin, it's time for the quick fire round. We're going to switch things up. If animals could talk, which species do you think would be the rudest?
The rudest animal, wombat.
Yeah. God, why did I find that so funny? What makes someone a good traveling companion?
Snacks.
In another life, what would your career be?
I would love to still be an artist in some proper sense of the word.
What was the first work thing you were really proud of?
Depends on how far. I mean, I did put together a pretty killer business case when I was about 7, like to my dad, why we should build an aviary in the back garden and I should therefore be allowed to keep falcons as a pet. It was pretty detailed. I was quite impressed with that. In terms of proper work, I still go back to the work that we did at, you know, Clydesdale Bank, Convergent Money, and the space that we built in Manchester, in terms of how we kind of revolutionise high street banking in the UK, and kind of build a retail space that sort of was up, so, you know, acting in was a bank. I loved that project for so many different reasons, never mind the kind of people that we were working with for it, on it, and just seeing, there's something different about being able to walk down like a street, like never mind seeing a kind of billboard with an ad on it, but seeing a physical 3-story building, and then being able to kind of tie up, you know, with the original pencil sketches up on my wall, which just off camera, and being able to kind of look at them and see a space, and then see people in that space kind of like living out the thing that was sort of conceptual space months, years ago, in a little room underneath. I think I'll always look back at that and just be quite happy though.
Amazing. Could you please describe your taste in interior design?
Nordic. Chaotic. Taste in interior design, haphazard, probably. And I like woodman chic, probably.
I've never had that phrase, woodman chic, but I like it. I'm going to use it. Do you have a go-to meal that you kind of cook in the kitchen for the family or yourself or anyone?
Anything pasta related. Like, I love making pasta. Again, it's like, again, it's the old mechanical hand, like, you know, making pasta from scratch, right? It's that tactile experience. Like, I love making pasta.
What's the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
I think that actually it was a bit of advice I heard 3 years ago. It must be before, after I was in a transition period to my last job in this one, right? And I was sort of going through a not quite sure what it was I actually wanted to do, right? Like, whether I was, you know, that excellent question where you go, am I actually enjoying the thing that I'm doing? Am I in the right place, right? And somebody said to me, like, ask yourself 3 questions, right? Are you having fun? Right, and I think that's a great first question to ask yourself in any sort of job. Are you enjoying it? Because, you know, we're only here for a short time. If we're not enjoying stuff that we're doing, then sort of, what's the point, right? Are you having fun? Am I learning something new or interesting? Right, it's a great reason for why we should be somewhere. Right, if we're not learning something, if we're not growing and developing, then, you know, ask yourself a question: or am I making things better? And I know every time I'll always ask myself those 3 questions. They're the thing that I'm going to go and do, whether it's job or life. To be fair, actually, and if I can't answer yes to 2 of them, then I think about resetting and reframing it, because clearly it's something that I got right. So, like, those 3 questions, I think, are actually really helped me in a really nice way of just evaluating whether the thing that I'm involved in is the right thing.
Last question, something we ask everybody. On a scale of 1 to 10, Robin Laird, how weird are you?
I mean, I think we're all weird, right? And I think weird is this relative scale, right? In the sense of, like, we're all weird to everybody else. And I think that's okay. I think we should embrace our weirdness a little bit more, right? Back to the point, like, the systems in the world are designed to make us less weird. And I think we need to fight back.
So that's a 10. Thank you, Robin Bird. That was awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today.
As we close out another episode, make sure to like, subscribe, and follow us on our social channels. Want to access Label Sessions for your brand? Whether you want to build new products, access world-class mentors for your team, or reinvent the way you attract talent into your business, visit Label Sessions to find out more.